The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are for informational purposes only and solely those of the podcast participants, contributors, and guests, and do not constitute an endorsement by or necessarily represent the views of The Hartford or its affiliates.
You're listening to the Small Biz Ahead podcast, brought to you by The Hartford.
Welcome back to another edition of the Small Biz Ahead podcast.
We're back. We are small businesses and we're getting ahead. We're going to teach you to get ahead on this episode.
Yes. So I just want to do a reset because we have a lot of new listeners now, which
yes.
is great.
Yes.
I just want to reintroduce us to people. So I'm Elizabeth Larkin, and I'm the managing editor of Small Biz Ahead, the website slash blog that Gene Marks writes for. And Gene is a small business owner.
Yes.
And a consultant.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm a business owner, and then I'm a writer, I guess, right?
And
I'm
a writer.
I write a bunch of different places.
You speak publicly.
Correct. I do some speaking as well.
Spend a lot of time on airplanes.
I do. But I know, but I have, so I have a 10-person company outside of Philadelphia, and we have about 600 small and medium-sized clients that are all small, you know, business owners that are using the technologies that we sell. And then I write for the Washington Post every day, and I write for Forbes, and I write for Inc., and I write for Entrepreneur. So those are all different places. And then of course, I write for Small Biz Ahead every single week.
Yes. And Gina's a weekly column on Small Biz Ahead. That's very popular.
And it's fun.
So tell us, what is on the minds? This is a really hard question, but since you
what's on the minds of small business owners? Is that what you're about to ask me?
Sort of. So you work with 500 to 600
yes.
different small business owners.
Yes.
So you're just immersed in small business constantly.
Yes, yes.
So what is on the mind of small business owners right now as far as how often they communicate with their employees?
Oh.
And how well they communicate with their employees and different ways they can communicate with their employees.
Every, you know, it's funny I say this. If you run a business, you are by no means a management expert. You know, there are people that work here at the Hartford that probably could not buy something for a dollar and sell it for a profit because they've worked at companies all their lives. But they have skill sets of managing people, which is a legitimate professional skill set
yeah.
that we as business owners are jealous of.
Well, there's no school for that. Like, even if you get an MBA, like, do they teach you like
learn,
people
no.
management?
You can't. In fact, I always said, like, if I was ever going to go back for a master's degree in something, it'd be in psychology, you know, because people say, like, go back for your MBA. And I think, like, I'd really need to understand if people are lying to me
yeah.
or not. I just, you know, I have, and I can speak on behalf of the business owner clients that I have, and even managers of small companies, but they look at you and they look at managers at larger companies with, you know, one side saying, like, okay, these guys could never do what I do. They couldn't run a business like me. They couldn't whatever. But they definitely have more of a skill set of managing people. And when you grow a business, you get to a certain size where you're like, geez, I wish I had that skill set. Yeah. I could really use it right now.
Yeah.
And the smart people that I know recognize that failing. If they can do something about it, they try to. Maybe they're still young enough and willing enough to learn how to become good managers. Or at the very least, you know, take their money and invest in bringing in management level people to run their businesses. You know, so
yeah.
just because you're a successful business owner doesn't mean you're a very good manager. And you find
yeah.
that out.
And we see that the articles that people read on Small Biz Ahead, our most popular topic
people.
Is basically how to manage
employees. Yeah, it's managing yeah. people. And whether you have one employee or you know, 50 employees, you have the same issues. It's
yeah.
always like it's people. So
and
someday they'll all be replaced by robots and we won't have to worry about this anymore.
But until then, your employees are your most important asset.
They always are. And they always will be. I always laugh about replacing by robots, but there'll be plenty of jobs. Believe me, people will always find something for them. Look at the tax code. Tax code used to be 100 pages. Now it's like a million pages. You know, people always find ways to keep themselves busy,
yeah.
robots or not.
All right, we're going to be right back with our question. This is actually about how to become a more effective communicator.
This podcast is brought to you by The Hartford. When the unexpected strikes, The Hartford strikes back for over 1 million small business customers with property, liability, and workers' compensation insurance. Check out The Hartford Small Business Insurance at thehartford.com.
Okay, our first question is from Tim. He just gives his last name as C, and he's from Idaho. Idaho, I don't know.
Tim, Idaho.
Had a question.
Boise, Idaho.
Idaho.
Okay.
This is great. Okay, so Tim writes, I have great employees, good for him,
okay.
Lucky, and for the most part, the ship runs smoothly, but every now and again, we hit an iceberg. I'm not great at talking to my employees or people in general.
Yeah, I get it.
How do I become a better and more effective communicator?
Isn't that great? I mean, like, I see that, like, all the time. Tim, dude, I get it. You know, if you're a business owner, you've gotten to a certain level of growth where you've managed on your own. You know, you're probably independent. You're probably like you figured things out on your own. And now you start bringing people on and they've all got their issues and their problems. And then they can't use it. They're not you. If they were you, then they'd be running businesses, you know, so they need that. And there's this disconnect that Tim is obviously feeling because he's like, I don't get it. Like, you know, if that were me working in that person's job, I would just be doing X, Y, and Z. And it's like, you're right. You know, you have this like disconnect. So, you know, I mean, Tim, you talk about being like an effective communicator. So for starters, you have to recognize in yourself whether or not you are a good, you know, a good communicator and a good manager or not. I mean, are you or not? Is this something you think you can be? And is this something that you think you want to be?
Yeah.
I have clients and you that sometimes they look themselves in the mirror and say, you know what, I really don't, this is not my thing. So if you don't think it's your thing, then you're going to have to invest, just like you invest in a piece of equipment or machinery, you're going to have to invest in management level people that are good and effective communicators.
So how would you find someone like that? So you're on like LinkedIn.
Right.
And you do a search for your industry.
Right.
And you're looking for maybe to bring someone in from a bigger company?
Yeah, it really is. Now, if you bring people in from a bigger company, you will get somebody, if you go through the interview process, right, and you connect with that person, who probably does have those management and those communication skills. You have to. I think you learned that in a corporate environment. However, you will potentially, Tim, pull your hair out because that person's going to bring their big company baloney along with them, you know, with some bureaucracy here or procedures and policies that they come for communication
processes.
And you're going to be like, you got to be kidding me. We're only like a 20 person company here. Yeah. And you're bringing that, you know, to the table. And whoever you hire has got to realize that you're a small business and not a big company. So you're going to have those
processes.
Yeah. You're right. Everybody loves processes except for like, you know, people running small companies where we have no processes. So, you're going to have to brace yourself for that, you know, that experience. But I do think that if you bring somebody on for a bigger company, obviously you're going to be going through that interview process. That person will probably have more skills at managing people, particularly if they did manage people at the company, then you've got.
You'd only want to look for someone that managed people.
That's right. Now, my story is I have a client that they have now about 50 or 60 people, and they brought on a manager, because the guy that runs the company is terrible at managing people. So he hired a sales manager, and the sales manager came from a much larger company in his industry. It's a true story. And the sales manager started up, and he was supervising their 5 sales guys in this company. And this guy came in, he was great. He's such a nice guy. He was doing like lunch and learns. He was putting in like, you know, like happy hours with the group and like customer, then, you know, different procedures for service and different whatever. And the business owner, it was driving the business owner nuts because the manager wasn't selling. The guy, I remember my friend, the business owner, was like, the guy's been here for 6 months. He hasn't made like a single sale. You know what I mean? And because he didn't really like, dude, you didn't bring in this guy as another salesman. You brought him in as a sales manager to manage your salespeople. And he came from a corporate environment and he's trying to bring what he's learned from the corporate environment to your business.
Were sales up though? I mean, was he effective?
Not yet, but it was still just 6 months. So the only thing that the business owner was looking at is saying, I just added $125,000 to my overhead and my sales aren't even up. This is not working out. And they parted ways after only 6 months. They parted ways. Oh, and it was bad. Not only was it bad for the owner, but the guy that took this job felt terrible. I mean, can you imagine? Like, you're hired to be, this is what, you know, he knew how to do, but he didn't have any patience. The owner didn't. And he had sort of the wrong objectives, you know, in mind. So I guess it gets back to Tim's original question about improving communications. If you don't think you're the guy to improve the communication because you don't want to learn and you don't have that personality, then I do think you're going to need to at some point bring in management level experience. It's going to be somebody with a corporate background.
Now, what if you can't afford to do that?
Then you can't do it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
So how can you improve your communication skills? Like YouTube videos?
No. YouTube videos. So, you know, if you're doing communication skills along with your employees, you have to recognize what your weaknesses are. And the best way, in my opinion, to communicate what I've learned from experience is being as transparent as possible.
Yeah.
So people you're able to communicate better when people empathize with you and feel they can connect to you and don't feel like you're kind of BSing them as it is. You know what I mean? Like, you know, they're just, okay, no one's going to say you're going to get out there and inspire your team to great heights or make passionate speeches or whatever. But if you can at least be honest and transparent with your people, if you can be clear on what your weaknesses are, admit your mistakes, you know, I just found this, your people will connect with you more, the more human that you are.
So our CMO at the Hartford, her name's Kathy Bromage. And
I'm a huge Kathy Bromage fan. Yeah. Yes.
She always describes it, and I just love this phrase. She calls it setting the table. So before she makes a change, she'll meet with the people who are affected by, even if it's a good change.
What a concept.
Bad change, good change, whatever. Yeah. She meets with them and just tells them, this is why we're doing this.
Yes.
And she calls it setting the table. So she just doesn't say, oh, we're getting rid of that vendor and replacing them with this vendor. Just, you know, make the change. Like, she actually takes the time to meet with people and explain, like, here's my thinking behind this. Here's who I got input from. And people love that.
People
then
love
it. They know why. And you're being a little, like, the transparency is just very important.
I think that's such great advice as well. And it does dovetails into what we were just saying, is, you know, when people feel included in what they're doing, and they know what the end goal is. And also when they're aware of your concerns, your fears, you know, your weaknesses, people will connect with you, you know, that much more. So again, and I know Kathy is also not somebody that's going to stand in front of a crowd and give some inspirational speech or whatever, but she's a very, very plain speaker, and she shares, and, you know, you feel she's very human. You can connect, you know, you can connect with her. And I think that's a huge, you asked, what if you can't hire a good manager? What do you do? I would say, you know, as transparent as you can be to connect with your people is the best way you can communicate with them.
I think that's really good advice. Okay, we'll be right back with Gene's Word of Brilliance.
Would you like for your next major business purchase to be paid for by credit card rewards points? Learn how you might be able to do that in Small Biz Ahead's new ebook, The Ultimate Guide to Business Credit Cards. In this free ebook, you'll learn how you can rack up rewards points for your next major business purchase or personal vacation, how you can use business credit cards so they won't affect your personal credit, and even how to keep employees from using their work credit cards for personal use. Just head over to smallbizahead.com and click the link in the show notes to get your free ebook today.
And we're back. Gene, take it away.
My word of brilliance is, it's a number this week, Elizabeth. The number is 24.
Okay.
24%, actually, according to research that was recently released. The cost of benefits to employees, this should come as no surprise to anybody running a business. The cost of benefits for your employees has increased 24% over the past dozen years. 24%. That's health and retirement and other employee benefits. And by the way, this is in a time when, you know, the cost of living and wages have been like flat, you know, at like, you know, inflation, like 1%, but the cost of benefits has increased significantly. Well, healthcare is a big part of it. The healthcare costs have been, I know there's, putting all politics aside, the healthcare debate and whatnot, it's impacting a lot of employers. And that is a big reason why a lot of employers hold back on hiring new people, because there's a big benefit cost, way more. So think about that. You put it into perspective how harder a decision it is right now to hire a new employee, because your costs are actually 24% higher than they were if you were making that same decision like a dozen years ago. What's also interesting about that number, Elizabeth, is it's been a turn. It's been a flip. A dozen years ago, up until about a dozen years ago, when all this changed around, the majority of the benefits that were being provided to you, the employee, was retirement related. Okay. That's because for a long time, people and companies were doing defined benefit plans.
Pension
plans. Yeah. Exactly right. So they were guaranteeing you what your income was going to be. Oh, my goodness. Right. And you can only do that now if you work for the government somewhere, you know, although a lot of governments are changing that around.
Yeah.
So the majority of the benefits was like retirement related. Now it's flipped. And now the majority of benefits are healthcare related. Yeah. And there's less benefits going to retirement because most companies are putting money into 401k and defined contribution plans. And that's another issue for your workers because people are, we see study after study of people like, well, the average American has got like $1,000 in savings or some crazy number. And here companies are even scaling back on what they're contributing to people's retirement plans in lieu of healthcare costs. So big issues facing all of our employees going in the future. And the question to you as a business owner is, how do you balance that out? How do you provide a competitive benefits for healthcare while also making sure there's some type of retirement plans for your employees? Because honestly, I've seen this with my own eyes. People become of retirement age, they retire, they realize they don't have enough money to retire on. And then what are they doing within a few months? They're coming back to you, the employer, and saying, can you got any spare work for me? Yep. Can I be on a consulting basis? I need, so it comes back on you eventually. Yeah. So that's a big issue. So 24%, let's hope that number doesn't rise, but that's my number. That's my word of the day.
We'll be back in a couple days with our next episode.
Thanks for joining Elizabeth and Jean for another edition of the Small Biz Ahead podcast. For the latest on small business trends straight from the small business experts, visit the Hartford Small Biz Ahead. We've got articles, how-tos, and videos to help you run your business more efficiently. Check us out at smallbizahead.com.